This April, the small nonprofit is being sponsored by Troy Mailing. That's T-R-O-I Mailing. Friends, I've personally been using Troy's printing and mailing services for almost 5 years now. I choose them for my clients, and I chose them when I was in-house. They are great to work with, always get my brand colors right, are cost-effective, and get my mailouts to my donors on time, even during busy seasons. Call 1-866-876-4624 for a free $100 postage credit when you use promo code DONORDM1 on your next campaign. Thank you, Troy Mailing, for sponsoring the small nonprofit.
Welcome to the Small Nonprofit Podcast with down-to-earth practical advice on how to get things done in your small organization. You are going to change the world and we can help. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anya McGlynn.
Hello.
So today's podcast is really a how-to for search engine optimization, also known as SEO.
And don't worry if that makes no sense to you, because when I first heard that term, I had no idea what it meant. But this podcast will introduce you to the basics and then get a little bit more specific.
Exactly. Rachel will break it all down for you. And to start with, really why SEO is important. And if you think about it in how we use the internet, basically when we search a term, so for example, I want to search local food bank or Toronto food bank, the SEO is all the stuff that's happening in the background to show you which choices Google thinks or Bing or whoever you use will be the best fit for your search. That's right. You want your organization to be at the top of that, whether you're talking to potential clients or funders. It's really important that you master SEO.
That's right. And I think it's just a really good exercise in defining your audience as well, and who your website is trying to serve. Because without answering those questions, I think it's very hard to think about optimizing your SEO. So if it's been a while since you sat down and thought about, okay, well, who is really coming to our website? And, you know, are we communicating about our programs and our impact in the right kind of way? You know, that exercise will really support this SEO exercise as well.
Exactly. And please, 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 if you are thinking about redoing your website, start with this. Start by understanding who your audience is, what action you want them to take on your website, and figure this piece out before you even consider design or anything like that.
No, that's like such good advice. And I think the other piece that's really great in this podcast is breaking down sort of how you can leverage Google Analytics, right? Mm-hmm. Like as if you're a nonprofit organization, you know, you're using G Suite. I think even if you're not using G Suite, you should have access to analytics.
Exactly.
And being able to track the way people use your website. And I like this idea of like that your users leave clues through their interaction with your website. And those clues will help you figure out how to create an even better website experience.
Yeah. So please grab a pen and paper right now, because I feel like you're going to be taking lots of notes, especially if this is a new topic for you. You might even want to listen a couple times. There's so much content. It's short, but like packed full of great advice. So grab your notebook and get ready to move things forward with your organization's website's SEO. Rachel DiMartino can take us all the way back to 1996, where as a teenager, she stayed up all night building websites, usually pretty geeky ones. After spending over a decade of her career on all things online, including digital media, search engine optimization, social media management, graphic design, and web development, she launched Geek Unicorn in January 2017, out of a passion for design and technology. Here's Rachel. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to be talking, first of all, to you, because we've worked together in various capacities for a while now, but specifically on the topic of SEO, which I think is kind of like a bit of a black box for a lot of people in the charitable sector.
Yeah, it's a scary word for a lot of people. So, yeah.
Well, let's start with like basics, right? Because we work with such a diverse audience. And I really want people to, I really want to demystify it and give them really practical advice. So let's start with the really basic of like, what does SEO stand for?
Well, SEO is an acronym. It stands for Search Engine Optimization. And it's really just the things that you do on and off your website to show up in a search result for a specific search. So to on search engines like Google, Bing, Yahoo, those kinds of things. So yeah, that's really it in its basics, is the things that you could do so that when somebody searches for something, it's your webpage that shows up.
Yes. So that we all want that sort of coveted number one spot. But I think a lot of organizations, and not just organizations, you know, anyone with a web page, I think they really struggle with like, under what circumstances do you want to be that? Do you want to be found? Do you want to be that number one spot? Because I think that foundationally, if you don't have that right, you're wasting a lot of your time. So how can we think about finding, like, how do people search for things? How do we fit in into the way that they look for information?
Well, it really comes down to your target audience and the intent behind their searches, but also what is your end goal? What is it that you want them to do in the end? Is it make a donation, support a cause? Is it share a cause? Is it you just want to be providing more information to educate the public about certain things that are going on in your sector? So it's taking a step back and thinking about what are the things that we want to share, what is it that we want people to do, and what are some of those topics or words around that?
Mm-hmm. So how do we go about finding that? Like, obviously we, you know, if you're an organization that serves an area of a city, like the city, the type of work you do seems straightforward. But how else can we uncover sort of how do we articulate, I guess, those actions that we want people to take? Or how do we understand how that fits into their search engine habits?
Well, I mean, certainly you can use tools to do keyword research. So keyword research tools would start with an initial list that you would brainstorm or come up with. And then you could feed it through this these tools to provide statistics and information about how often those words are searched. And then a lot of times those research tools will provide suggested keywords that go along with that as well. So you could start with that. You can also look to see what are some of the questions that you get asked a lot. What are some of the popular news stories within your niche? What are people asking online in social media circles? What is it that people tend to be chattering about and asking about? Those are usually good indicators that that's what people are searching for.
Mm-hmm. I want to underscore that, because the charitable sector in particular is really terrible with jargon. We have a lot of industry jargon. And right. I think that could really hurt us in this context, which is, you know, we really have to put on that audience hat. Like, who, not like what do we want to be known for, but actually how do people think about us? And how do they think about the work that we're doing and avoid the jargon? Like, in fact, I guess I would ask, like, or confirm, we want really simple, like, people search, I think, with very basic terms generally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've once heard, like, the Colon Cancer Society wants to target people who have a grade 4 reading level. Mm-hmm. So they were having trouble saying go to get a colonoscopy, because colonoscopy was not a word that people were familiar with.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, what do you tell what do you tell grade fours? Like, you put a tube up your butt, like, you know,
my bum's not healthy.
Yeah. Have a healthy butt. And I think that actually ended up sort of being a campaign, right? It was very focused on a clear and transparent bottom. I remember that a few years ago.
Yeah.
So some of the, one of the tools that you could go and use if you're uncertain, like if you're really like, we don't really know any layman that we can ask, or follow on social media to kind of get a sense of what words they're using. You can use Google Trends. It's a free tool from Google, and you can compare words. So for example, in an environmental nonprofit might use the word watershed a lot, but that's a really technical term, right? Like you know, environmentalists know that word, or ecologists know that word, but like the general person on the street doesn't know what the watershed is. They know what a river is, maybe. But you can put those keywords into Google Trends and really see if that is a word that people use, and what is a word that people use other than watershed that kind of means the same thing that you could probably go for and people would understand better.
Mm-hmm. And so part of that is being really, really clear on your audience, right? And so one is figuring out who you want to talk to. The other is, can we talk to multiple audiences within the same website?
Yeah, absolutely. Because each page is going to represent a microcosm on your site that will show up in a search. So when somebody's searching for your site for content that you're producing, mm-hmm. It's not your entire website that shows up in a search result. It's one page. So if you're targeting different people groups, like let's say on one hand you are targeting the technical specialists who would know the word watershed or some technical term, then for sure create that page around that and use those technical terms. And then you can have a completely different page that supports and speaks to the more general population or layman who wouldn't know that term. But you just want to keep in mind that overall you have these little microcosms of different pages on your website that can all independently show up on a search. But you also want to take a look at the whole collective and make sure that your content as a whole, like all the pages as a whole, are all kind of talking about the same thing and the same topics and sort of generally to the same kind of audience.
Excellent. And then going from there, so let's say we know who we're talking to. We know the audience. That's our first step. Then how do they think about our work? How do they think about and articulate, I guess, and then plug that into a search engine? How do they want to find us? Then what's next? Because that's not where the magic is, right? The magic is how our site reflects those things. So what are some of the key factors in building our websites that will help us make that match to the audience we want to reach?
Yeah, well, there's two parts to SEO, really, like generally. There's the on-page stuff, and then there's the off-page stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of organizations concentrate on the on-page, and then they totally forget about the off-page stuff. So the on-page stuff would be things like making sure your website is mobile-friendly. That's an absolute must, because mm-hmm. most people are searching the web on mobile, making sure it's secure. So you have that HTTPS in front of your URL.
I want to really reinforce both of those points.
Yeah.
Because you will be sort of penalized in the algorithm, right? If you don't have those two things, and a lot of organizations don't.
Right. So it's not that you're penalized. It's more that other sites would be preferred over your site. So you're not being punished. It's just other people are being chosen over you.
They will be elevated.
They will be elevated. And then the mobile friendly aspect is Google has recently split their search results into two different types, desktop and mobile. So in order to get in that mobile environment, your website would have to be mobile friendly. Again, not that you're being punished, but other sites would be preferred over your site. So So yeah, those are really the two big, big technical ones that I, you know, preach that everybody needs to focus on. Like if you focus on nothing else, go make sure you have that HTTPS and you're mobile friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. So that's sort of the off page. Is there anything else off page or no?
Those are the on page ones because those are the technical things that you kind of control, right?
Okay.
So the next thing is the keywords and your overall content structure. So a lot of mistakes I see people or organizations do is they have like way too many categories, way too many topics. And really the overall idea or goal is to be known in your industry for that one thing. So if you are, again, like that environmental nonprofit organization, and you want to be kind of known for that, then what are those key topics of conversation, those overarching bigger topics of conversation that you want to be focusing on and then putting all of your individual articles and blogs within those higher hierarchy of that bigger topic that you want to be known for. So not spreading yourself too thin on all the different categories that you possibly could talk about and really focusing on, you know, 3 to 5 that really support your organization as being known for an environmental nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's the, you know, always making sure you're creating great content, obviously. That's a big one. Some stuff that people want to read about that are written by experts that include quotes and references and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Stop the podcast.
Hey everyone, it's your host Cindy Wagman and Anya McGlynn.
Hi, we just need to interject for a second.
Really important information that we want to make sure you listen to and hear. This podcast is brought to you in partnership between us, The Good Partnership, and Charity Village. And we want to make sure you know that there is a wealth of information waiting for you at both of our websites.
That's right. On Charity Village, you can find a really robust knowledge center, as well as a fantastic job board, whether you're looking for short-term, long-term employment, or volunteer opportunities.
So for that, you can visit charityvillage.com. And of course, on The Good Partnership, we have lots of resources specifically around fundraising.
That's right. There are fundraising plans. There are fundraising strategy guides. There are, of course, all the past episodes of this podcast. So if you're looking for specific advice and tools and tips on fundraising, check out thegoodpartnership.com.
And especially if you don't know where to start, I love our brand new fundraising guide. It outlines all the different fundraising strategies there are out there and gives you some information to help you evaluate which ones are right for you. So for that, thegoodpartnership.com/guide. Happy fundraising.
On with the podcast.
And then looking at the user experience on your website, and user experience clues are left by if you have, like, let's say Google Analytics, for example, you can see how long people are staying on your website, how many pages they're looking at. Do they land on your website and then leave right away? Those are all clues to how the users are enjoying your website. And so those are really important because Google prioritizes user experience over anything else, really.
And how do they measure user experience?
It's through clues like how long somebody stayed on the website, whether they returned to the website or not, how many pages they clicked through. So, for example, if I came to your website, stayed there for 20 seconds, left, and never came back, that's an indication that your website wasn't the right fit for that particular search term.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to pay attention to those things to make sure that people seem overall, on the average, happy with going through your website and coming back.
Fantastic. So obviously, if you don't have Google Analytics, get that set up. And some of the indicators, as you mentioned, like how long they're staying on any given page and are they clicking through to other pages within your site, which kind of leads me to think a little bit about our content strategy, because I think a lot of charities, are especially small ones, are stuck in an older thinking of websites as like, we got to put it up and it just lives there for a few years until we need to change it.
Right. Yeah.
And also it, you know, there is the reality that like it takes time to manage and maintain, but can you talk to me a little bit about like publishing regular content and how that affects SEO?
Yeah. So, it's a little bit like, if you're always stay the same and your site is static, then you're not bringing people back at all. So you're not actually generating traffic. And this is where I get into like the off-page stuff of SEO, which is, increasing your traffic to your website. So Google looks to make the best recommendation in a search, or Bing or Yahoo or whichever. I say Google a lot when I say that. I really mean search engines. What's a good indication of something that is the best recommendation is a place where people are visiting a lot. You know, if somebody said, oh, what's a really good restaurant in your area, you would probably tell them the place that's always fun and exciting on a Saturday night, right? Like you wouldn't tell them about the dive where nobody goes.
People visit once and never return.
Right, right.
Don't eat there.
Don't eat there. So it's sort of the same way with your website. You want to create a popular, highly trafficked site, a place where people want to go and want to visit. And you can really only do that if you're constantly updating your content. You're giving people a reason to come back.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole other podcast in terms of what the content, like how to manage that. And we actually do have a podcast with Avery Schwartz in season one. So listen to that if you're struggling with like, oh my goodness. So
yeah, she's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of those things, like I think when people historically have thought of SEO, and I understand that historic and internet don't often, are not often used together as a term, but, you know, I think a lot of people, their very beginning understanding of it was like throwing keywords in the content of your pages. And that gets scanned, and if it shows up a number of times, then you're more likely to get found. But obviously, it's more sophisticated than that now. But is there does that still happen to some degree, or is it pretty much dead?
Well, keywords are still foundational to how search engines work, right? Like everything begins with the keyword from the actual search of the user. So the user is putting in specific words that your page would have to have within the content of the body in order to show up at all, because it has to be on topic. But I think in the past, it used to be about keywords in the sense that it would be like volume or
how
where it was.
Times do you repeat that word?
Right.
Yeah.
Where it was specifically, and those kinds of things. And so it was, Google who really pioneered the, or as far as I understood, pioneered the sort of the popular voting method, which was to look at, backlinks and to say, okay, how many links back to this page are there on other websites on the internet? And we're going to use that as like casting a vote for that this page is the best. Mm. And so the actual volume of keywords is not as important as that. Yes, the keyword is there, but also there's a supporting structure around it that appears like it's a well-written piece of content. And when you're writing content with the keyword in mind, you want to think of it as a conversation. So would it be natural if you want to rank for the keyword, you know, river cleanup, would it be natural to say river cleanup like 15 times in your document? Probably not, right? You'd probably be using other terms and mixing it with other phrases. But then ensuring that you also have other pages linking back to that, other websites linking back to that page, and that you're bringing traffic into that page as well. So those are kind of the things that will help you get up on top.
Excellent. So obviously there's a lot to do. Anything else that we should add to the list?
Well, yeah, I mean, just the fact, just don't forget about, once you've created a piece of content, don't forget about that content marketing part of it. So that's where people really, really fall flat. They SEO their website and they do the keyword research and they put their keywords in and then they sit back and they think magic's going to happen.
Yeah.
But really what you have to do is you have to then go market that content. You have to ensure that other influencers know about it so that they can either link back to it or refer to it to their audience, that you want to be bringing in traffic through your own social media channels, through your email newsletter. You want to be the PR agent for that particular piece of content, for any content that you create on online.
And so in terms of marketing, like marketing can mean a lot of different things. Like is social shares and that kind of thing enough, or I mean, obviously digital email marketing is something, but I feel like a lot of organizations don't do that as much as for-profits. But what are the areas where, like, is there a better area for pushing content, or is it just that you want people to visit the site on a regular basis?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So it really does depend on your audience. So in terms of, is there a better place to push it? Like, if you're on, let's say, Pinterest, where it's predominantly women, and your target audience is more like men or 50-50, then maybe Pinterest is not the best vehicle for you. So yeah, it's all independent for each, for each organization.
Right. But I think that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, which is knowing your audience, because I think that having a clear understanding of what you want your website and your digital content to do for you as an organization is so foundational, right? It's so important. And I think that there's a lot of tension specifically in charities because they have their service audience. So like, who are their program participants? Who do they need to find their organization so that they can do the work that they're doing? And then their donors is another big audience that we hear a lot, especially as fundraisers, which is totally different group. And so with limited resources, I think there's often more confusion than clarity in terms of like, okay, this content or this activity is serving our work with X or Y population. So
And I guess it goes back to again, like you said, what's like, who are we trying to really target? What's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck?
Yeah.
So if that is donors, then the go for donors, and then because if you have limited resources and limited time and energy and all that, then go for what's going to give you the most return for your time, energy, investment, and then hope that you get big enough and well known enough that those other little areas of or people types that you want to attract can come into there, or that you can then start allocating somebody's time specifically to that, you know?
Rachel, we've covered so much, and I think that it can be a little bit overwhelming. So the first thing I want to ask is, like, is it all or nothing? And if it's not, where do we start?
No, it's not all or nothing. Like, if you can certainly produce great content on your instincts, you don't have to do the keyword research. Like, if you instinctually know that you're getting a lot of questions about this certain topic or whatever it is, then produce great content around that and then concentrate on bringing people to your website. So those are the two things. Just create really great content that you're fairly certain people want to know about. And then concentrate on bringing traffic to them. So getting eyeballs in front of it.
Yeah. So one last question. When organizations are looking at redoing their websites, how do they prioritize this, but also test that the people who are talking about designing their sites really know and understand SEO as an important component of web building, site building?
Yeah, good question. Well, if you're coming from a site that you already have, I typically recommend that people do an assessment of their site just to make sure that there are no pages that are surprisingly popular that they might get rid of by accident.
How do we do that assessment?
Well, you would have to have Google Analytics. So whatever you're doing,
site traffic and
if you walk away from this podcast and you don't have Google Analytics, go get it. It's very simple to add to your site, and it's free. It shouldn't take you very long. There's lots of resources online for how to. Mm-hmm. So doing that analysis is usually the first thing that I recommend, just to make sure that pages don't go missing that shouldn't go missing, but also that pages get restructured if they're not doing anything for you. You know, I mean, I see a lot of people in their menu, they have like 9 pages in their menu, and really all they should have is the big old donate button, you know, like cut to the chase.
Donate now. Here's donate how to donate. Now. Here's why to donate. Yeah.
Right. But in terms of most content management systems, which is like a WordPress, a Squarespace, a Weebly. So maybe you're familiar with those terms if you're looking for getting a new site. Website, they're mostly out of the box SEO friendly. So when speaking with a web developer, you might want to just make sure that they're going to prioritize page speed, that they're going to make sure that they install that HTTPS for you, the SSL certificate, that they're going to quality assess your website on mobile before launching live. You might want to ask them about geolocating microdata. That's just write that down as a note and ask your web developer.
Geolocating microdata. Remember that. Yeah.
Schema.org is where that you get that. And just maybe ask them what some of the things that they plan to do for SEO are. Do the smell test. If it smells like they're kind of stalling or BSing, then then maybe move on.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I think that's so helpful, because this really is an area that I think, as I said earlier, people kind of try not to open the lid because it feels really overwhelming, but you've given us really specific concrete things to think about and pay attention to in that process. So hopefully that'll help organizations get more on board with leveraging their search engine optimization to their benefit. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome. And I have a resource too that might help.
Definitely. Where can people learn more about you?
Well, you can visit my website at geekunicorn.com. And I have an SEO cookbook, and I've put together 12 tutorials that take you through step-by-step SEOing your own site, SEOing your content, and those kinds of goodies. And even if you don't plan on DIYing your search engine optimization, it's a really great resource to have so that you can have those conversations with a web developer. If you're getting a new website, for example, to say, hey, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? So it could be a little bit even educational for you if you don't plan to DIY. So check that out. That's at geekunicorn.com/cookbook.
Excellent. Thank you, Rachel, again. Lots for people to digest. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're so welcome.
Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.